25?
You get unlimited local and long-distance calling.
Just $24.95.
And with CityNet's digital phone plan, you keep your current number. All you need is a high-speed internet connection. Get details at CityNet.net.
$24.95.
And, oh, this is cool. With CityNet's digital plan, I can use my home phone anywhere in the world with high-speed internet. No extra cost.
There's 20, and there's 4, and there's 95.
Did I mention CityNet is a West Virginia-owned company?
Did I mention $24.95?
Save at least 50% on your residential phone. Get unlimited local and long distance and keep your same number, all for just $24.95 a month. Visit CityNet.net today for more details. Some exclusions and restrictions may apply.
Thinking ahead means preparing for the future. The future of our children, our grandchildren, and our wild, wonderful West Virginia. Developing our renewable energy resources is the best way to ensure a clean, sustainable way of life and safe, good-paying jobs for generations to come. Here in the Mountain State, our most abundant energy resource is the wind. Our ridges and majestic mountain peaks shape and direct the wind like stones in a mountain stream. Coal River Mountain is the ideal place for developing wind power. The Coal River Mountain Wind Farm will provide us with a source of clean energy and good jobs forever. We have the power to make our future happen now. Be a part of the clean energy solution for West Virginia by visiting coalriverwind.org or call 304-854-2182. That's coalriverwind.org, 854-2182.
This is a top to, you know, what we use on stage, but it's very, very special because if you can see,
yeah,
the numbers all go to 11. Look, right across the board, 11, oh, 11,
and most of
11,
the
and then
amps go up to 10.
Exactly.
Does that mean it's louder? Is it any louder?
Well, it's one louder, isn't it? It's not 10. You see, most blokes, you know, be playing at 10. You're on 10 here, all the way up, all the way up,
yeah,
all the way up. You're on 10 on your guitar. Where can you go from there? Where?
I don't know.
Nowhere, exactly. What we do is if we need that extra push over the cliff, you know what we do?
Put it up to 11.
11, exactly. One louder.
Why don't you just make 10 louder and make 10 be the top number and make that a little louder?
These go to 11.
Welcome to Conversation Radio's Lean, Mean, and Green Show right here on the Horn. It's Foxed Up with John Fox, where we turn the conversation to conservation. Foxed Up is brought to you by B1 Louder Productions in Sydney, Australia, and CityNet, citynet.net. B1 Louder by ringing 877-4-HEAD-ON. That's 877-443-2366, or use your free minutes by dialing direct 304-658-5453. Yeah. Ranting, head-banging hippie, John Fox.
All right, everybody, welcome aboard. It's got to be Sunday night there in the United States. Well, it's Monday morning here. Welcome to Foxed Up here on the Head On Radio Network. It's good to be back with you. We got this new machine rocking and rolling here, and we got a lot to cover. Now, I unfortunately, the phones over here are still screwed up, but that will come. Unfortunately, I have to take the whole rig to a whole nother internet connection and verify that it works on this end. Then my internet provider will be more than happy to try and figure out what the hell's going on because they don't think they're doing anything. But anyway, I was planning on covering something from Western Australia, but I didn't expect it to be this. There's been a massive, well, there's an oil spill off the Western Australian coast that took place yesterday, and it's a drilling platform that's sprung a leak. And what makes this thing really scary is they're talking about that it could take 2 months to stop the flow. Via the ABC News Online, and you can find links to all this stuff at today's blog post at foxdup, F-O-X-D-U-P, .headonradionetwork.com. You can find out the information there to connect up to the show via Skype, because we're still doing that until we get the regular phones running. But when we get the regular phones running, we will continue to do the Skype thing as well, for those of you that do that. Getting back to this story here in Western Australia, all 69 workers were evacuated immediately, most of them without any of their personal belongings, and they're having to be taken out to a mall at the North End to get them clothes. I mean, these guys were pulled off without even having a chance to take their shoes with them. But basically what's happened here is they've sprung this leak, and they actually have to bring a whole nother platform out to drill and plug it. So at the moment, we have special chemicals being flown out to disperse the spill. Last reports, it was 8 kilometers wide. And, you know, see, these things really, really, you know, someone's going to say, well, accidents happen. Yeah, but every time one of these accidents happens, the damage can't be undone. As was just mentioned in the chat room, Alaska is still fucked up from Exxon. I do expect, however, the Australian government will probably do a better job at holding anyone accountable and try and get the cleanup done for real. This country is so far ahead of the United States when it comes to giving a crap about, you know, the environment. I expect a better reaction. However, due to the size and the scope of this kind of thing. Now, here it says from the ABC, an employee on the rig that is spewing oil into seas off the coast of Western Australia says the spill may cover 8 kilometers of ocean. The oil worker, who spoke on the condition of anonymity, was one of 69 people evacuated to Darwin yesterday from the West Atlas offshore drilling rig, 250 kilometers north of Truscott. Crude oil began spilling from the rig about 4 a.m. yesterday. The National Offshore Petroleum Safety Authority says it is investigating the incident and is unsure of how extensive the problem is. But the worker told the ABC that rig workers detected a gas leak before they saw bubbling around one of the 1,200-meter-deep drilling holes. Poisonous hydrogen sulfide began leaking from the area and sparked the evacuation, he said. He says the plug blocking the hole released soon after, and within 2 hours he could see the slick had grown to 8 kilometers as he was being flown to the Truscott Air Base. Australian Maritime Safety Authority spokeswoman Tracy Jiggins says a search and rescue plane with an environmental specialist on board is assessing the size of the spill and the environmental situation. She says a Hercules aircraft on loan from Singapore is expected to arrive in Darwin this morning, which will be used to spray chemicals to disperse the oil. Ms. Jiggins also says there are 2 aircraft at Truscott on standby to help. My understanding is it's quite a large oil spill. However, until that aircraft comes back and provides us with more accurate information, I can't give any specific details about how big it is. Oil in the water disperses naturally with a bit of wind and choppy water. Oil breaks up into smaller globules. You know, I don't care if it disperses. It's now in the water system. You'll never be able to clean it up properly. And it's just gonna, you know, it's just gonna add to the degradation of the oceans. And I mean, I got more on the oceans later, the fact that they're, you know, heating up like you wouldn't believe. But, so, I'll keep you posted on this. This is gonna be a long, just happened, yesterday, early Sunday morning here in Australia. And, so it's all, it's all very, 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 you know, kind of sketchy at the moment. But the idea that we can set up these systems, and because it blows a leak, it's going to take 2 months to plug it, that's just not right. That's just, to me, that's negligent. You really want to make all that money by sucking crap out of the earth? You better have all the contingency plans to deal with every possible disaster that can happen. But no, we consider the monetary gains and cheap fuel and all these other things to be far more important. Who cares if you can't replace an environment? Virtual reality will provide one for you soon enough. With that, I want to actually go to the Western Australia thing I wanted to cover. Gail and I were up on Saturday evening and checking out Rage on the ABC, which is a music video program that they do here. And very often they have, kind of whoever's big in touring or something, go and guest host the show and play stuff that they like and stuff that's influenced them. And it's usually really good fun. And there was a Western Australian band on whose name, unfortunately, I've forgotten due to one of their friends or some of their friends who they played. And it really, really caught my ear. And there's been this very interesting thing in the last few years. All of the Australian new bands, you know, actual like rock bands, they're coming all out of Western Australia. There's hardly any coming out of New South Wales. It's a bit better in Victoria, but the bands seem to be coming from Western Australia. And I think that there's a really obvious reason for this. I've talked about it before that the Australian rock and roll scene here pretty well died once poker machines took over every pub and club that used to be a music venue. And the thrill of cheap money killed virtually every local venue. I mean, there's still a few, but there aren't the places where young bands can go and really bash out their wares and get good, get tight, play in front of an audience, fall flat on their face and pick themselves up again. And it's only by going out and actually playing that you become a good band. And so we've had this kind of continuing thing. Eskimo Joe is a really good band out of WA, and just over the last few years, it seems to be Western Australia is the place where it comes from. So on Rage over the weekend, they played this band called Carnivool, Carnivool, and you can find them at carnivool.com.au. And, you know, so sometimes people say that, you know, big rock, or what has been referred to over the years as metal, can sometimes be really pretentious and up itself. And there's part of me that thinks that that's what music should be pretentious and up itself. Trying to create something big. Trying to create something lush. Trying to, you know, not just spitting out a tune, but creating an arrangement and orchestrating it. And being pretentious. I mean, being an artist in any way, shape, or form, you're being pretentious. But they played a video for this track called Thamata, which I'm going to play for you here. And for any of you guitar players out there, I'm guessing there's a whole lot of whammy pedal stuff going on with one of the guitars in here, and I think it's some of the most interesting use of it I've heard in a while. I hear influences of Tool, possibly Korn, but this is just really big. Now, I haven't really listened to the rest of the record. I'm going to go out and get it. But if you go to their MySpace page,
this track has gotten 750,000 plays, and the album has only been out a week. So I think that's a pretty good sign. So off of their debut record, Sound Awake, here is Carnival with Themata. don't know about you, but I think that's a really, really interesting noise. I'm going to have to check out the rest of the record and see if any of the rest of it stands up like that does. But I don't know. Grab me. And it's always good when your missus is listening to the show. And she reminded me that the band that actually was hosting the program who knew these guys is a band called Pendulum. And they've been doing really well as internationally as well. And for those of you in the States, Tim in L.A., on the 22nd of September, these boys will be playing a showcase headlining a thing called the 3EG Show at the Knitting Factory in L.A. And then they're going to and on the 25th, they're going to be at Don Hills in New York City. So before they go off and do tons in Europe. I think these guys could do really, really well. Sounds smart. I don't know, I just kind of dig it. But anyway, blah, 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 blah. So what else is going on? What else is going on? Oil spill things, just, you know. Hey, curious to see how that's gonna come up. Now, I guess on other environmental stuff, here we go. Gene sent me this one, and it's been covered a bit lately, but of course you don't see this in the mainstream media the way that we should, especially in the United States. We see it a bit more here. But ocean temperatures hit all-time high. And this is, when we start talking about ocean temperatures and melting ice caps and things, I keep seeing these claims from people who deny real science that the ice caps are growing and that temperatures haven't risen. Well, sorry. My lying eyes read data going over years and years, and it's fairly obvious that things are getting warmer. But over at the Raw Story, they have a post on this. In hot water, world sets ocean temperature record. Swimming in warm waters of Maine? I mean, this is where it starts getting really, really nuts, right? It's Steve, they say here, Steve Kramer spent an hour and a half swimming in the ocean Sunday in Maine. The water temperature was 72 degrees. More like Ocean City, Maryland this time of year. The Ocean City's water temp hit 88 degrees this week, toasty by even Miami Beach standards. Kramer, 26, who lives in the seaside town of Scarborough, said it was the first time he ever swam so long in Maine's coastal waters. Usually, you're in 5 minutes and you're out, he said. It's not just the ocean off the northeast coast that's super warm this summer. July was the hottest the world's oceans have been in almost 130 years of record keeping. The average water temperature worldwide was 62.6 degrees, I guess that's Fahrenheit, according to the National Climatic Data Center, the branch of the U.S. government that keeps world weather records. That was 1.1 degree higher than the 20th century average and beat the previous high set in 1998, by a couple hundredths of a degree. The coolest record ocean temperature was 59.3 degrees in December 1909. A little bit further down, the Gulf of Mexico, where warm water fuels hurricanes, has temperatures dancing around 90 degrees. Most of the water in the northern hemisphere has been considerably warmer than normal. The Mediterranean is about 3 degrees warmer than normal. High temperatures rule in the Pacific and Indian Oceans. The heat is most noticeable in the Arctic, where water temperatures are as much as 10 degrees above average. The tongues of warm water could help melt sea ice from below and even cause thawing of ice sheets on Greenland, said Waleed Abdaliti, director of Earth Science and Observation Center at the University of Colorado. You know, a few weeks ago, you know, I can't remember who it was, but someone made the statement, it might have been the IPCC, actually, made the statement that within 5 years, no denier will be able to deny any longer. the outward effects and signs of global warming will be so obvious that even morons in the South, actually morons around the world, will those of us that have paid attention to this stuff over the years think these people are insane. But in a few years, everyone's going to know that they're insane. This is crazy stuff. This is crazy stuff. So if you want to get on the program, unfortunately, like I said before, the phones are not functioning yet, but we do have Skype. So get on Skype, search Foxed Up, F-O-X-D-U-P, and you can connect into the program and bring whatever into the mix that you'd like. And we tested all that out, and that all seemed to play hunky-dory beautiful things. So we'll see how we go. I'll get to the West Virginia thing a little bit later. But speaking of West Virginia, if you were on the stream earlier today, you would have caught the CD release party for Still Moving Mountains, The Journey Home. And I caught about the last hour and a half of it. It sounds like it was a great time. Bob Kincaid emceed it, and from as I understand, the archive of this will be available for download sometime in the very near future. If you haven't gotten this record, you need to go out and get it. It helps support the cause of trying to stop mountaintop removal mining in West Virginia, and you get a CD of some just absolutely amazing real music. And maybe we'll get to play some of that later. I'm not sure if I have it on the new computer yet. But we have recovered the library, which I find to be a very good thing. And we're going to go to that library. Because I've been watching... Oh, I got a whole bunch of stuff here. Let's see. Where should we go? Oh, I'm just a confused man. And, you know, as an outsider these days, looking at the United States from the outside in, over the last 6 months or so, I've just been, I don't know, aghast, gobsmacked by just the general situation of the United States. A country that's virtually broke in any real sense. And the things that could be proposed to actually make a difference to an entire nation are being successfully, unfortunately, but successfully derailed by the least educated among us. There's just no doubt about it. And it sits there and makes me think, you know, I'm to watch, you know, people who are not well off go and protest against health care for everyone and use it as a thin veil for being racists. I mean, you know, there's no doubt in my mind that so much of what's going on over there is purely due to the fact that Barack Obama is a man of color. Instead of everyone getting involved in the conversation and being constructive about it, because there are things in the way this health plan is being put together that is just stupid. But the idea of trying to set up a universal health care system is a good one. And it could be the one thing that saves the United States from full-on collapse. But we've gotten to the point where, for a certain part of the population in the United States, ideology has taken, you know, a lead over reality. And that's insane. And, you know, all the talking heads have been talking, you know, have been, you know, babbling on about how, you know, Obama shouldn't have tried to get the Republicans on board. And I agree with that. And now, you know, there's been all these backdoor deals and all this kind of other crap. And no matter how many concessions the administration gives to the Republicans, they're not going to get any votes. Because the Republicans are just out to destroy a presidency, whether it destroys the country or not. So, President Obama, or any of your staff, if you're tuning into this program, here's what I reckon you gotta do. Wipe the whole slate clean. Tell the Republicans to go fuck themselves. You and your administration and that, and all those intelligent people that you do have on board, instead of doing what you thought was the politically fair thing to do, and unfortunately not dealing in the reality of modern American politics, in a reasonable world, the way you went about this would have been the way to go. But in opposite world, where we have, you know, just nutbags being led around by the nose by their ideology, by corporations, or by their church, you can't do it what you would consider the fair way. So here's what you got to do. You got to wipe the whole slate clean, tell them to go fuck off, and write the bill with the public option, whether you do single payer or hybrid, and go and cram it down their fucking throats. And then, as the system gets put into place and people start seeing the benefits, support for it will go through the roof. And that's how you get healthcare passed. And that's how you end up having a second term. For all the so-called change, and I'm happy about many things that are different from the Bush administration, there's a lot I don't care for. But this really needs to be the issue that you nail it on. And if you actually release the CIA torture report tomorrow, finally, that would be a really damn good step. But I have a song for you guys. You need a rallying cry? Here you go. Faith No More. Be aggressive. We'll be right back. Yeah, it's time to stop being so conciliatory with this healthcare thing. It's time to, you know, be aggressive, Mr. Obama. You know, you're allowing this teeny little minority to run the whole discussion. It's such bullshit. And it's tragic because, seriously, the thing that could save the U.S. economy, even with all the bank bailouts and all the other bullshit that's gone down from Bush continuing on with this administration, sort this one out. And how you can call yourselves a civilized country and not have some sort of minimum care for all is crap. Now, in the chat room, Tim's asking me, was asking me if, whether I like the possibility of forced inoculations for H1N1. And I then asked, you know, where's this happening? And he says, right now the CDC is giving $50 to patients to take the shot Baxter created. Okay, that doesn't sound forced to me. However, we've got some similar things going on here because we have Medicare here. And medicine is not a 100% for-profit industry. The Australian government and the Chinese government, but the Chinese government for different reasons, have facilities in which to make vaccines. The Chinese have one in development. They're hoping to start tests very soon. And in Australia, they're running tests already. And to see whether the thing works or not. And if it works, they're going to make up a bunch of batches. And to me, you know, what I find interesting, though, is that Baxter's out there paying $50 a pop, not knowing whether it works or not. I guess hoping to get, you know, to be the first one in the United States to come up with a vaccine. And then they can sell the crap out of it, whether it works or not. But here, there are non-pharmaceutical companies trying, and in other words, like actual medical labs, trying to create a vaccine so that it can be produced without copyright. Okay, Tim says, so what does it matter if I take or don't take the shots? If the other people have their shots, then they shouldn't get sick. You know, now, see, the part of the thing that makes this whole, you know, H1N1 thing such a bizarre topic is because it hasn't had the kill rate of even the normal seasonal flu. However, we are dealing with a situation that it's new, and we have new systems internationally for actually tracking these things. And this is virtually the first one of these, you know, this is the first flu to actually be monitored in this way. So I think that was one of the things that created so much kind of media bluey, because there was actually information being passed down, you know, trying to talk to people like they're adults and say, we've seen this. We're not sure what it's going to do, but see, some of the fears are starting to come true. It might not have the kill rate yet, and I'm going to try and find the link if I can. Over the weekend, I caught on the television news at some point that, and I can't remember where it happened, you know, it just kind of went right by me, but I heard it, that H1N1 has been detected in some birds somewhere. And that's one of the things that they were afraid of, was it being able to jump species and then possibly morph. And then we could end up with something like the Spanish flu. So, you know, there's part of me that understands that we're in uncharted waters, not with what this flu is, but we're in uncharted waters as far as some infrastructure that we have globally. Ever since bird flu, you know, the bird flu a few years back that really caused some pretty big problems in this part of the world, in Australasia. After that, the World Health Organization, the UN, got together and said, hey, you know, we might need to come up with some, you know, better monitoring for these kind of events. And that's part of what you're seeing, and I really do believe that that was part of the early kind of overblowing the whole thing at first. Because, you know, like as Bill Maher said, you know, talking about the kill rate, saying that, you know, it hasn't had the death rate of regular flu, but regular flu can't get any airtime. What does it need to do? Fuck a goat? And, you know, there's validity to that joke. But I don't think that watching this thing really closely and having, you know, different organizations, whether they government, private, or otherwise, trying to find a vaccine, that's not a bad idea. Now, going out and forcing a whole bunch of people to take the vaccine, I wouldn't agree with. However, then you run into situations of, okay, what happens if you have an outbreak in an elementary school? Do you shut down the school? Do you inoculate? Because, you know, I believe, you know, there is some validity in the idea of you want to go to a public school, you got to be inoculated against measles and whooping cough and things like that. Because it's with young children that these things can spread really, really quickly. And, you know, little kids aren't really good about washing their hands, you know, dribbling snotty messes. I mean, we all were one once. It's not like I'm, you know, saying anything that's cruel or nasty. It's just the truth. And I've been sent the link via Al Jazeera. That kind of figures in a way. And Tim sent this. The chili birds. Not as in hot and spicy birds. But birds in Chile. And it was turkeys. Whoever said that in the chat room, you are right. Two turkey farms in Chile have been put under quarantine restrictions after fears the birds have caught swine flu from humans. Vets in the country said the H1N1 flu virus had been discovered in two poultry plants in Valparaiso, if that's how you pronounce it. Should the outbreak be confirmed, it would be the first case of infection reported in birds and the first time birds have caught the disease from humans. And, you know, birds migrate. And that's where the bird factor becomes even more of a problem. So, that's my thoughts on that. Yeah. Tim says, you know, being a snotty mess also helped build your immunity. I do agree with that. You know, I grew up at the time, you know, where one of the kids in the neighborhood got the chicken pox and all the other parents sent their kids over for a sleepover. Because the earlier you get something like that, the less hellish it is for you. And, you know, and it's one of those things you only get once. And once you get it, you get, you know,
You get over it. So, yeah, chicken pox party. And you know what? I went to a couple and never caught it. I didn't catch it until I was at military school. And we had an outbreak there. And, you know, there was a situation that, you know, we all had to be quarantined. You know, there's a bunch of us had to be quarantined from the rest of the student population because, I mean, it could become a real mess with a whole, you know, for anyone that was, you know, starting to get in their later teens. Because I tell you, I was 14 when I got it. And it was really nasty. You know, it wasn't just the slightly itchy that my friends had when they were 10. But, you know, when it comes to this whole H1N1 thing, I think there's a whole lot of people making too much noise about it on all sides. However, I think the mechanisms that are following it, trying to come up with a vaccine for it in case it does become